Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
I find it really hard and sad that's not treated with the same dignity, respect and importance as other things that might affect our health.
How confident are you now that the government has a handle on the situation in regard to suicides in the UK at the moment, and also a plan?
We're not getting anywhere near the same messaging around something that is taking thousands and thousands of lives every single year, and something that is absolutely preventable.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. I do hope you're well. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you as well for everybody who shared our story on social media from the Christmas special with E17 frontman Tony Mortimer talking about the song Stay Another Day. It was a light-hearted conversation with a, you know, serious undertone to it as well, but it did really big numbers on social media. So I really appreciate everyone who shared that story, and it's great to have you with us. That was our sort of like Christmas special end of year Mental Health Monday. But of course, throughout the year, we talk about big, important mental health issues. So this is a podcast going out in the run-up to Christmas and New Year. But you know what? No matter when you're listening to this, the numbers are significant because this is the first podcast we've been able to record since the Office for National Statistics revealed the numbers of suicide registered in England and Wales in 2022. Normally comes out sort of around September time. There's been delayed this year, but the numbers are out. Here they are as they stand. So the number of suicides, deaths by suicide registered in England and Wales in 2022, 5,642. That's 5,642. Now, last year, the number was 5,583. So it's up on last year. The number of deaths registered by suicide up in the last year. Of them, the sort of usual trends of 3/4 of suicides being male, that still holds up. 4,179 male suicides and 1,462 female suicides in that period of time as well. People aged 50 to 54 were most at risk of dying by suicide. And the number of men over the age of 90, a very small number, but the number of men dying by suicide over the age of 90 nearly doubled as well. And I don't know if that's like a blip in the figures. It's a relatively small number. It's a very small number, but it's been a big increase. So that stood out on the bulletin as well. It's so sad when you hear about these figures, particularly when you hear that those numbers are not coming down. And let's be honest, even if they were coming down and they said, oh, it was 4,000, you know, 500, and it was like 1,000 people fewer, like, that's good news, but it's still 4,500 people dying preventably in England and Wales every single year. It always shocks me when we get these figures, when you think about not just those 5,642 deaths, but the knock-on effects to their family members, the close family members, the friendship groups, the work colleagues, the people within the community, that every single one of these deaths is an absolute tragedy, and we are right to remember that. Now, it's time to catch up with this week's guest, Jake Mills, who himself is a suicide survivor and the man who sets up the Hub of Hope, which we signpost to on the podcast each and every week. And we started off, well, we talked a lot in this conversation about various different aspects, but mainly about the fact that each and every year we come around to have this conversation and we talk about how terrible those numbers are and how awful it must be for so many people, particularly at this time of year, who are going through this situation. But we also touch on the fact that a lot of these suicides registered in 2022 actually took place in 2021 and some even in 2020. And it's about the time it takes for these registered deaths to appear on the official list, if you like, is getting longer and longer and longer, nearly 200 days it can take on average. So I think that can be a concern as well, certainly worth talking about. And I start off by making the point to Jake, and we both made this point, that although these are numbers, at the heart of this story are people.
Yeah, it's so easy for us to forget that. It's not just the people that these numbers represent, it's the families, it's the friends, it's colleagues, it's this whole ripple of people who will be affected by each and every suicide. People who, in turn, will then become vulnerable themselves. And it's so easy for us every year to just throw numbers around and talk about them, in all honesty, a little bit flippantly. So I'm actually really pleased that you have contextualized that in that way, because these are lives that have tragically and needlessly ended this way.
The numbers come around every year. They're always a little bit behind in terms of some of the delays that we have around the reporting. How confident are you that this is the truest picture that we have around suicide, that people will say X number of people died last year? And yet you can never be quite sure, because there's always a couple of caveats and things like that. I suppose it's the best system we've got at the moment. Do you think it tells the full picture?
Suicide is incredibly complex, and there are so many different caveats. That the way that it currently works is that it is still down to looking at evidence, of course, but then it is coming down to essentially a judge's, in many cases, a judge's verdict within following an inquest. And that, you know, we see a lot of the time can be controversial in itself. It might not necessarily match the thoughts or feelings of family, friends, or anybody else around that. So, you know, it's a system that we do have. I do know that there's conversations and plans about how we can maybe adapt that, how we can look at a real-time suicide surveillance and figures and data, so that we can actually try to have a bit more up-to-date. The other thing that we need to consider as well is that because it takes often so long, particularly with inquests, is that, you know, we're getting figures now for 2022. And although you can absolutely use those insights and the figures and numbers of death, and you can try to do something about it, by the time we're able to receive these figures and try to do something about it, we're coming to the end of 2023. So we're always behind. We're always trying to play catch up. And that makes it so much harder when you're actually trying to make a difference to those people and to other people who may find themselves in that situation. So we've got to find something different. We've got to act quicker, better, more innovative. We've got to collaborate. We've got to find better ways of being able to get this information at an earlier stage so that we can do something about it.
Can I ask you about sort of, and you mentioned that suicide is a complex thing, so reasons and various aspects like that can differ from case to case, but these figures will take in large part of the start of the cost of living crisis, which is the latest crisis, if you like, that the nation has been dealing with. In a way, the COVID-19 suicide related stats were relatively I'm going to say normal. It's not normal, that's not the right word to use, but relatively flat in terms of people's concerns about impact of lockdowns and so on and so forth. Cost of living and the impact of cost of living and the realities of people living within the cost of living crisis, do you think that potentially changes things for this year and obviously for next year's figures as well?
We know that, as you said, suicide is so complex that there's often many different reasons. Some that we would know, some that we wouldn't. But we know that the economic factors play a huge role in the risk factor for people who may consider suicide and ending their own lives. What I can say is that from use of the Hub of Hope and looking at the data analytics and insights that we've had of people who are searching for help and support, we had a huge influx of people looking for financial support. It was a topic or a subject that we didn't necessarily historically have a lot of people looking at. But we did. We saw a huge, huge influx. Not only that, though, we also saw an influx of people looking for related searches such as gambling or addiction support. So it wasn't just people looking for financial support. They were then also looking for gambling and addiction support. And then also self-harm was a rise as well around that time. So, you know, if you're kind of looking at it from that regard, these things will often just escalate and follow each other. It's so easy to see and to understand how somebody in a bad financial situation, particularly with the cost of living, can find themselves in a real dark situation, where feeling like there's no hope, there's nowhere to turn, there's no light at the end of that tunnel. So, yeah, you know, I definitely think that's something that we will be able to consider as being a huge factor in that.
The government have produced their suicide prevention strategy with a view to flatlining them, bringing down those numbers over a, shall we say, modest time period. How confident are you now that the government has a handle on the situation in regard to suicides in the UK at the moment, and also a plan which is workable that might start to see a change in those numbers, albeit over modest time frames rather than the probably instant change we'd be more minded to want to see?
There is a plan. You know, the National Suicide Prevention Strategy, which was recently released and included Hub of Hope within that, which is something that we were really pleased to see, and we were encouraged that, you know, we can play a part in that. The truth is, and your question about do the government have a grip of this? Are they starting to do more to control the numbers of suicides and to reduce the numbers of suicides? We're having the same conversation. We've had the conversation every year now, and there was conversations about this before we were having those conversations. Until these numbers are dramatically changed, until the numbers are dramatically reduced, then I am absolutely in no way confident that government, whatever government that might be, are doing enough about this. And it makes me so sad, and it makes me angry that we should all be angry about this. Everyone should be angry about this. And it makes me so angry that we come back round every year, the same conversation, about the same, around the same amount of numbers, and you know we should be happy with that. We shouldn't. None of us should be happy with that. And I think, without being flippant, you know, we all become experts on things like COVID-19. We become experts on things like hand, foot, and mouth. We become experts on swine flu, you know, all these things that happen. We get the information. We get that information out in public messaging. We get it out in schools. We get it out in letters to parents. We get it in newspapers. We get it on the news. We know the things to look out for. We know the signs, the symptoms, the things that we can do to look after ourselves, to protect ourselves, protect our friends, protect our family, and protect our children. And we're not getting anywhere near the same messaging around something that is taking thousands and thousands of lives every single year, and something that is absolutely preventable. And so I find it hard to, while being encouraged that there are some plans, and don't get me wrong, there are people I know who care, but I find it hard to really be overly encouraged by any real plan in place when there's that lack of respect, if I'm being honest, a lack of respect to people and individuals who could be upskilled, who could have the knowledge, who could be forewarned about things that they statistically probably may go through at some point in their lives. I find it really hard and sad, and I often feel a bit sick about it when we talk about it. That's not treated with the same dignity, respect, and importance as other things that might affect our health.
We'll point out at this point that people can go and get and find support services on hubofhope.co.uk. Jake, we're moving into a period of time, like Christmas and New Year,
sort of Christmas is that sort of very intense time, isn't it? And it throws up a lot of issues, often related to family members who maybe get closer to you than you'd want them ideally to be. Alcohol being a big factor within that period of time as well, plus the sense that people have expectations about an event which maybe don't always play out. And then that can sort of present itself in different ways depending on who they are. You then move into the new year period as well, and the year sort of opens out in the front of you and leaves people, for want of a better phrase, on that cliff edge of thinking, God, what now after that sort of intense period of time that we're going through? What would you say to people who have maybe been struggling the back end of this year, who are hoping and praying that, you know, the new year brings them something new? But of course, if nothing changes in people's lives, the date on the calendar isn't going to make necessarily any difference to them in that regard. What do you say to people who are heading into this period of time and into 2024, having had a difficult 2023 and probably a difficult 2022, and see that their situation, even if it's not getting worse, is not improving from a mental health point of view?
Yeah, it's really hard this time of year to kind of, because I know people have different approaches and different feelings and different ways of dealing with things. One of the things that's really hard this time of year as well is routine stops. I think a lot of people will rely and depend on a routine, you know, getting up, going to school or going to work and being around colleagues or going to groups that might close for Christmas, going to gyms, going to other networks that they might have, which is a routine is a big, big coping mechanism for all of us, probably. As you said, there's the pressures around alcohol, there's the pressures around eating, there's the pressures of having this perfect Christmas that you might see in adverts, and the realities of trying to live this life and live up to expectations that are probably unrealistic expectations and unfair expectations can come with a lot of pressure. To anyone struggling from that regard, I'd say, you know, Christmas Day is just Monday. It's just Monday. The same as any other Monday. You know, don't put too much pressure on that to be or act or to pretend to be enjoying things that you're not. You know, don't, I know that's easier said than done, but it's really important not to try to live up to unfair, unrealistic and unhealthy expectations. Going into a new year, you know, you'll often have people talking about a new year, new me. But at the same time, having a new year, new me is important. Having a new year, same old me is just as important for many people as well. But for anybody who's going into the new year, who has come from the back of a difficult year, a difficult couple of years, it can often feel daunting to go, right, here's a whole new year and I've got to get through. And what I would say to anybody in that situation is that all you have to think about is today. That's it. Just think about today and getting through today and doing anything that you can do in today to take any steps forward in a positive, looking at the tiny, small steps of positivity and hope. That's all that matters. Because without getting through today, you can't get through to next week, you can't get through to next month, you can't get through to the next 6 months or year. It doesn't really matter about 12 months' time. It matters about the next 24 hours. And if you can get through the next 24 hours, then you can get through the one after that. So I know it's all easier said than done, but looking ahead at a year and making a plan for the year, yeah, that might make sense for some people, but it doesn't make sense to everyone. So you work and you do it how it works for you.
Top advice. Can I ask you, Jake, because we're all sort of on a journey on this one. Is there anything new you've started doing? Is there something you're planning to do that's that you found has been a great new routine that you've got into, or something that's made a difference to you?
Do you know what? I've kind of found the real benefit to me of the physical exercise and what that can do for me. And again, talking about a routine, you know, I've actually found myself making non-negotiables around, you know, I either have to go to the gym at this time or go for a run this time. And, you know, obviously everything's caveated with doing that in a healthy and positive way and having a healthy relationship with exercise. But for me, it's time to kind of really de-stress, let everything out, not being on my phone, not worrying about anybody else, not worrying, just it's the time to actually be on my own. I've really found that this year, so it's something that I'm going to take into the next year.
Good stuff, Jake, as ever. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma. Head to hubofhope.co.uk to get connections with mental health services within your area. The government earlier this year announced their new national suicide prevention strategy. Contained within that strategy is the aim to reduce the suicide rates in England within 2.5 years, with a focus on prevention and early intervention, targeted support to priority groups, including those at higher risk of suicide, significant focus on tackling lethal substances, including a new alert system there, and delivering near real-time surveillance of emerging trends in suicides. It touches on some of those things that we were talking about that Jake would like to see brought forward and really focused on within the next 12 to 18 months to give us a real true picture of what's going on, where, and obviously an opportunity to make those interventions. I hope you've had a great 2023. However it's been for you, fingers crossed things will move on for you in 2024 in a positive way. And that might come with some changes that you're looking to make. It might be something physical. It might be something mental. It might be more time to yourself. It might be less time to yourself. And it might be about getting out and about with other people and more people. It might be about, for me in particular, less time spent looking at a screen, more time reading books. It might be about maintaining physical activity. It might be getting up to 10,000 steps, or maybe even achieving something like a couch to 5K, a new skill, learning a language, an instrument. The whole world is opening up in front of us, and sometimes that can feel daunting, but also it can be a great opportunity. So I wish you and your families a great 2024. Thank you for everyone who's supporting Mental Health Monday throughout the year. We will continue to produce these podcasts on a weekly basis, and we'll be back in early January. Have a great Christmas and New Year, if that's still appropriate, depending on when you're listening on this, and we'll catch up again very soon.